In the bulletin, I've just noted that it would be verse 12 and 13 for our message this evening. And hear, learn, do. Very simple, but what important instruction we find here in these verses of Scripture. I'm going to take just a moment to go through verses 1 through 11 and read those and rehearse some of the wonderful promises that God is giving to His people. And this particular text of Scripture, as you wrap up the book of Deuteronomy, of course you know that God is using Moses to provide the children of Israel with really what I would refer to maybe as a final charge before they would enter into the land of promise. And great content in the book of Deuteronomy, great reminders, a rehearsal of promises. And we begin in verse number 1 by way of introduction. The Bible says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel." Let me say this, I'm thankful that Moses was a faithful minister. And often as you read the Pentateuch and you read the interactions between God and Moses, you'll find where God instructs Moses to tell the people, and you'll read where Moses obeys the Lord and tells the people. And I'm thankful for a faithful servant of the Lord, and he was not going to be permitted to go into the land of promise, yet he remained faithful to the call that God placed on his life. And I just want you to think about that just for a moment, because sometimes we could almost have the attitude, well, I can't go over, so forget this, right? But Moses is faithful. He's faithful to the end. The Bible says this. He actually rehearses this to the people. He says, "And he said unto them, I'm 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan." Notice as he begins in verse number 3, he begins to rehearse these promises. In fact, verse number 3 is full of wonderful promises that would encourage the people of God. He says, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee." Isn't that precious? What a wonderful encouragement that these people of God would receive as Moses is saying, "Listen, I can't go, but be mindful of the fact that the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee." Notice it says that he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. A promise of victory that God is giving. We know that God had given this truth with regard to inhabiting the land and conquering the inhabitants, and we find that he gives them that truth. Then notice he says that Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. There was a change in human leadership for the nation of Israel, and no longer would Moses be the human leader. He was not going to be permitted to enter into the land of promise. But we find that God had given instruction and ordained that Joshua would be the next human leader for the nation of Israel. And so Joshua, physically, humanly speaking, he would lead them over. Notice the Bible continues to speak about this victory that they would enjoy in the land of promise. It says, "The Lord shall do unto them," speaking of the inhabitants of the land, "as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed." Of course, if you were to read previous in their history, the victory that God gave over these two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, and God says he's going to, God is using Moses to encourage the people that the Lord shall do unto them, the inhabitants of the land, just as he did to Sihon and Og. Notice verse 5, "And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage." Then notice this, "Fear not, nor be afraid of them." If you go all the way back to when the 12 spies went into the land as Moses would commission them to go, and you read that truth in the book of Numbers, you find that they come back with that evil report, 10 of them, and they say what? They say, well, there's giants in the land. They say that the cities are walled cities that are fortified, and we find that they came to the conclusion that we're not able. But as they would enter into the land, God reminds them through his man Moses to fear not, nor be afraid of them. And then notice this precious truth, "For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Aren't those precious words? We're mindful of the truth in Hebrews 13, where the Word of God says, and we often reference the promise that He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I want you to be mindful of this promise to the children of Israel as they're preparing for entrance into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And as they're preparing to enter into the land, once again, Moses reminds them that God is going to be with them. And he says with absolute certainty, He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Still to this very day, we can rejoice in knowing that He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Aren't you thankful for that? How the children of Israel must have been encouraged by receiving these reminders, this final charge, and reminding the people of God of the presence of God and the promises that He has given. And Moses called unto Joshua. Notice in verse number 7, if you kind of think about what's unfolding, in verse number 1 it says that Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And now in verse number 7 he calls Joshua, and the Bible says that he now begins to speak unto him, Joshua. Notice what it says, in the sight of all Israel. Can you see it in your mind's eye, the drama that's unfolding, if you will, and the words that Moses would speak to the entire congregation? And now he calls for Joshua, that man that God would use to lead them into the land of promise, and he then gives and begins to speak to Joshua in the presence of all Israel. And notice what he says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. By the way, God will tell Joshua that in Joshua 1 as well. He says, for thou must go with his people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You say, well, he's being redundant. He's now speaking directly to Joshua. He's saying, Joshua, you're the man that God has called. You're the man that God has appointed, humanly speaking, to lead the nation of Israel into the land of promise. And in the front of all of the congregation of Israel, Joshua receives this charge from Moses. No doubt there are days of difficulty as you would lead. And to have these precious promises of the presence of God, the victory that God would give. He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law in verse 9 and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, notice it says, in the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. And notice, as he says in verse number 12, so we're getting into the message here and these thoughts from verse 12 and 13. Notice what he says, gather the people together. This is the process that they're to follow as they would gather the people together. Notice what he says, men and women and children. And then he says this, and thy stranger that is within thy gate. And so gather all of the people together, the men, the women, the children, the stranger that's within thy gate, gather them all together. And here's the purpose of the gathering. He's already spoken in verse number 11 about reading the law before all Israel in their hearing. And then he says this, that they may hear. That they may hear. You know, it's a wonderful thing to hear the truth of God's Word. The Word of God tells us in the book of Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? How are they going to call on Him in whom they've not believed? How are they going to believe in Him? And you go through that whole process and you get to the end of the dialogue there, and it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? What a joy to be able to hear the Word of God. to hear the truth that God would give. As you go through the Word of God, you'll find that there are records that are provided to us of men that faithfully proclaim the Word of God. Unfortunately, there are many times during the history of Israel and Judah where they did not listen to the preaching. They did not listen. They did not hear the words of God. They decided to listen to something other. They desired to listen to some false preachers, some false prophets. And we find that the Bible says that they may hear. Notice, and that they may learn. That they may learn. It's a blessing to be able to learn the truth of God's Word. One of the responsibilities that we have as a New Testament church is to preach the gospel to every creature. And we understand the fullness of the Great Commission is not simply to preach the gospel to every creature. Then we baptize them, and then the Bible says this, that we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. And what a joy to be able to take the Word of God and to be able to learn it, that God has given it. Turn over, if you will, to the book of Nehemiah. And I want you to see in Nehemiah chapter number 8, and I just want you to notice here what the Word of God says to us with regard to this model really for preaching. So they're to hear. Someone had to proclaim the message. Someone had to read the law as it's spoken of there in verse number 10. And as they would gather together, as they would come to this place, and verse 10 and 11 describes it, verse 12 gives the details with regard to the gathering and the purpose of the gathering, then there was a need to learn. Remember, the New Testament tells us that we're not to be hearers only. And we'll get to it in just a moment. We're to be doers of the Word. Notice what it says in Nehemiah 8, verse number 8. Notice it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They used the Word of God. That's where you start. And then the Bible says they read it distinctly, and then they gave the sense, this process of teaching, so that teaching would allow for and facilitate learning to take place. We see that if you were to read the earlier parts of chapter number 8 here in the book of Nehemiah, that you'll read how that they gathered together and how that they stood and they listened. They were attentive, the Bible tells us at the end of verse number 3, under the book of the law. So we find here in the book of Deuteronomy in the 31st chapter that God says, as Moses is given this instruction to the people, that when you get there in the land, gather the people together, the men, the women, the children, the stranger that's within thy gate, and as you gather them together, they may hear and that they may learn, notice, and fear the Lord your God, and then notice the end of verse number 12, and observe to do all the words of this life, of this law, excuse me, to do all the words of this law. The purpose of hearing it is so that we would learn it. The purpose of learning it is to do it. He says that their children, notice in verse number 13, notice the result, if you will, of following the instruction that's been given. And by the way, this is not very complicated, right? This isn't hard instruction. This isn't a complicated thing. We find that in verse number 13, the result of following this instruction, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. I want you to think about that phrase, as long as you live in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. It was never God's intent that He would deliver His people into the land of promise so that they could be taken into captivity. It was never His intent. But the reality is that they failed to follow the simple instruction, even that we find here in the book of Deuteronomy, hearing and learning and doing. And I wonder this evening, if you just think about the history of Israel and think about perhaps how different it could be had they followed just some simple instruction. begin to think about this passage of Scripture and just really simple instruction that God gives to His people, and how even still today, the importance of hearing, learning, and doing. I was mindful of the, we don't have this any longer, we have advanced sources of media, etc. But back in the day, they had town criers. You understand from history, and especially over in Europe and what have you, you'd have these town criers, and they'd come in and they'd get a message. Who'd they get the message from? They'd get the message from the authority. Often, as you think about England and the king, and they would receive the message. And so they would receive the message, and they were commissioned, they were given the responsibility to go herald the message. It's interesting, as Paul gives the example or the admonition, to Timothy with regard to preach the word. It means to herald. The town crier, they would use a variety of means. Sometimes they'd use bells. Sometimes they'd use some sort of a gong, a drum, or something to kind of get some attention. And they'd say, hear ye, right? We know from our history and understanding. And then they would deliver a message. You know, it was the responsibility of the people to hear the message. Think about that. They were accountable to the content of the message. Do you know, it really wasn't a valid thing to say, well, I just didn't know. They're responsible to hear the message. And as we think about the responsibility to proclaim the message, we must also think about the responsibility of hearing the message. And as we hear the message, we're hearing it for the purpose of learning it. I want to understand, as you look at the truth there in Nehemiah, that to give the sense of, to make the people understand the desire to teach the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, so that we'd have an understanding of it. But the reality is that as we would look at this passage and we think about this, as you proclaim the responsibility of the individuals to hear the message, to gather as they were called to gather, and to come to the place where they were to come, to hear the message that they were to hear, to learn it, and then to do it, to put it in practice. And really the simplicity of this text of Scripture has been complicated by humans for centuries. We just kind of make up all sorts of excuses for why we don't hear the message, why we're not learning the message, why we're not doing the message. And we find that for the nation of Israel, even as we preach this morning from Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and dealing with the captivity that would take place of Judah, as long as you live in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Oh, that they would have just simply followed the instruction that God had given to hear, learn, and do. Still today, it's so simple. Sometimes it's the simple things in life that we struggle with. You ever watch a guy play a sport, and they're making millions upon millions of dollars? They have a quarterback that's making 10 times as much as they're making. And they throw this perfect pass, and it hits them right in the hands, but they took their eyes off the ball, and they dropped it. And if you're a fan, you say, how in the world, right? You get upset, you know, and yell at the TV. Just the simple things. We were watching a baseball game just for a few minutes the other night. Routine. I could have made the play at shortstop. I was a good baseball player. I never played shortstop, but I could have made the play at shortstop. It was an easy play. And that guy, Joseph, he threw the ball like into the first row. I don't know what the guy was thinking. Just completely airmailed it, you know, just not even close. Run scores, and people are like, what's going on? Sometimes it's just the simple things that we just overlook in life, that we try to complicate. And here, as the nation of Israel is going to enter into the land of promise, as God is giving this charge to His people, He says, let me remind you of these promises. Let me remind you that I'm going to be with you. Let me remind you that you're going to have victory. Let me remind you that I'm never going to fail thee. Let me remind you that I'm never going to forsake thee. And let me encourage you, this is what I want you to do. Gather all the people, the men, the women, the children, the stranger within thy gate. And when you gather them, let them hear and learn and do. It's so simple. And still today, we must hear the Word of God. We must learn the Word of God. And it is imperative that we do the Word of God. As James said, not that we'd be hearers only, but that we'd be doers of the Word. For the one that hears and doesn't do, you think about the truth, we sing the song, we actually sang it this past week in Vacation Bible School. The wise man, he built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. If you look at the gospel account where that song is derived, you'll find that Jesus is teaching. He's the master teacher. They heard the same message, but there was a different response. The one that was likened to the wise man was the one that heard it and did it. The one that was likened to a foolish man was the one that heard it, by the way, the same message, but didn't do it. And God said, I'm going to liken him to a foolish man. And we know the truth. Listen, for both individuals, both groups of people, the storm came. It doesn't mean because we do the Word of God that there's not going to be a storm. Right? It just means that we're going to be able to stand versus not being a doer. The storm comes. We find hear, learn, do. So simple. I hope tonight that we just take the simplicity of the message and say, God, as I hear the Word of God, help me to learn it and help me to do it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray that the thought this evening would help each of us. Lord, we thank you for your word. What a joy. I'm thankful for the privilege that you give me week in and week out to preach the word of God. I pray, God, that you'd help me and help each of us to hear, learn, and do. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray, God, that you would help us daily to seek your face, to seek the truth of your word, to implement in our hearts and lives. I pray that you'd bless as we're dismissed here in just a little while. I pray, God, that you'd bless this time of invitation. I pray that decisions would be made that would please thee, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with